Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. It is NFL draft day, so you guys have gone all through your mocks, and you just cannot wait for your team to step to the podium tonight. And more often than not, when it's draft night, unless it comes to quarterbacks, the pick will be universally hailed. It is called winning the room. The Cardinals will take someone at 13, and that they'll walk up to the podium, and they will say, this is the greatest pick, and we just couldn't be more happier, more pleased. We didn't know if he was going to be there. We always hear that on draft night, and then it's a crapshoot. So
great upside.
Great upside. No, that's a good one.
Intangibles.
A lot of intangibles.
High motor.
High volume. If it's a defensive player, I've heard that one with defensive players. A high volume impact player.
High football IQ.
Great character.
Yep.
Heard that.
We've covered a few of these, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean it's not to poke fun at the
no,
draft.
No, no, love the draft.
Draft
love
is great, but we on our end it's somewhat predictable as to what we're going to get. Now, the good thing here about the Cardinals is and we're going to get into how the Diamondbacks rolled over like dogs and had their bellies scratched last night with Fernando Rodney and shooting arrows into the sky when you get your head kicked in, just the nonsense of that.
But I guess what are the Cardinals and the other NFL teams supposed to say after they draft a guy really high? Like, well, he may work out, he may not.
But wouldn't
he
it be
smokes
more fun?
Weed, we're well aware of that, but it's okay.
And that's the thing.
It would be refreshing to hear that, though, wouldn't it?
It would be so great if they
full transparency.
Like I saw where Saturday. Do you see what they're doing Saturday with the draft? Mm-hmm. Going to put David Johnson up the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, it's fine.
It helps the Arizona Department of Tourism.
Absolutely,
it's very smart.
Show off
move.
Our state. It's a beautiful one.
Michael probably fly him up there and all that. And so you know, the NFL is it's no longer a bunch of draft nicks sitting around. And they're all excited, and the Chargers back in the day, for me, I started covering drafts when I was 19. So now it's 32 years later, and it's just evolved into this PR war. It's a PR campaign. They're going to roll out their sponsors tonight, and they're going to show, look at how great this is. When you take a guy like Robert Kimdiche a year ago, and he really didn't do a whole lot, and there were some character things around him. And then the year before, they took DJ Humphreys, and he basically was on scholarship for the first year. Tyrann Mathieu was a pick that everybody was saying, oh my gosh, Tyrann Mathieu, I can't believe that the Cardinals would take him. And it was a brilliant, genius move. Very unfortunate, he has had two knee injuries and two surgeries. That's not good. David Johnson, universally hailed now, but on draft night, there was nobody saying, oh my gosh, this is the greatest pick. This guy could end up going into the Hall of Fame and all this stuff.
It was, I think I saw a couple highlights of him when they played Iowa.
Right. So, you know, when John Brown was taken, it was just some speedy kid. When Justin Bethel was taken.
No remember, idea on those guys. Yeah, never seen Justin, either yeah, of them
no,
playing
Justin
college.
Bethel was taken. I remember how refreshing it was to hear him talk about how he you know, was working on campus and that sort of thing. And the same with David Johnson. And so there is that story of the draft that's great. I love those stories. But unfortunately, and I don't know if it's a societal deal, this isn't to take the air out of the balloon for you guys, but guess what? There's quite a few picks that are going to have there's been a red flag. That's another one, Eric, we forgot about. Red flag or character question. Like, you could do a drinking game on character question tonight, and I don't think you'd make it out of the top 10 picks.
System player. He's a system player. But, if you run a spread offense and you're a quarterback or you're a wide receiver, you're a system player.
So Seth Joyner's going to be with us in like 10 minutes, okay? So, and you and I are sitting here on the outside of the Cardinals, and they supposedly have all the answers. Facts are that even the NFL teams crap the bed every year. There are lots of people sitting around in draft rooms saying, you know what, we're going to take Jake Locker and we're going to kill it. Oh, yeah? Well, we're going to take Blaine Gabbert and we are going to kill it. Oh, yeah? Well, we're going to take Jamarcus Russell and we are going to kill it. Oh, yeah? We're going to take Matt Light. So you can go right down the list of these guys that have got it all figured out. They're the smartest guys in the room and they just completely blow it. You know, how is it Cleveland can have so many number one picks and so many high number one picks and always get it wrong, or almost always get it wrong? And even when they get it right, they can't keep players there. No one wants to stay unless you're Joe Thomas. What a sad story that is. He's already suffering from memory lapse and all that. Did you see that yesterday?
I did.
God.
Yeah, man. It's sad.
So we're going to have Seth Joyner with us. And I want to talk to Seth about his draft day memory. He was at Texas El Paso and how it went down for him. And of course, Seth has won Super Bowls. Good here in the Valley. Great here in the Valley. He's actually taking part in the Eagles broadcast tonight. So he's going to join us from Philadelphia. We'll talk to Seth about that. Then we'll have Goody at the movies. Goody and I are going to talk about Eric put this down, a Romanian film called Graduation. Subtitles, I'm guessing.
Yes, subtitles. The way this works is I text Goody. Goody texts me the movies. I go on YouTube. Some of these movies I have never heard of.
Yeah.
And I just put it in, and it brings it up. And, yep, oh, yeah, subtitles.
That's awesome. But more importantly, we're going to talk about ESPN yesterday. I got a lot of mail yesterday and people responding as the day progressed. I don't know where some of you, not very many of you, get the correlation that ESPN just did way too much politics and leaned a certain direction. And so that's why they blew out 100 people. I don't get that. I don't get that. It's fine that you think that. I would really like to sit with you over a beer and hear what you think about JFK assassination, how that went down, or some other conspiracy. Yeah, everything at ESPN had all to do with the government, or that they don't talk enough about sports. They focus too much on politics, and they showed their political leanings, and that's why they got rid of all these people. Brad, come on. Who's kidding? What are you doing writing this stuff about rights fees? Guys, I don't know about you. I don't watch very much outside of PTI. Like, I never watch the stuff they put on in the morning. I don't care what Stephen A. Smith does. I don't care. He's given a platform. That platform will pull out from him tomorrow. He'd just be another guy. But they put him out there. And so if people want to get into that, and that's the reason why they don't watch, I don't know. I watch Golden State against Cleveland. Who knew? I kind of sit there and watch the Angels take on the A's. And I don't know. I don't hear anything about political leanings. So that's kind of not going to rip on you. It's just like, really, is that your thing? So you don't get that in 24 hours that there's going to be different views on stories, and you don't, just because it's not your view doesn't make it wrong. Well, there's all these people commenting on news sites. Well, then go stick to news. Knock yourself out. Okay? So, yeah, Bill and I are going to have a deep dive on what happened yesterday, because I do think that the industry that we are in, that you guys like to consume media content, you can look at me and say, I'm out of here. I don't care, Brad, what you do. It's fine. It's fine. Or you can say, you know, I like what you guys do. You're different than what's over here. We don't intentionally go to be different. We just are. We see what's out there. When I have media executives in town saying, we'd love to have you over here, but you have to play by our rules. Or you know that there's a certain way you have to treat teams. Come on. Are you hearing yourself? That's not happening. It's not happening. We are in the business to hold these people accountable. We are not in the business of making sure the accounting department is happy cashing checks because we have a partnership with a team that is being heavy-handed. You know, that's not how we are. And you may not want to take part in it. Or you may say, I love what you guys do because you go do some things that I don't get elsewhere. That's fine. Cannot be Baskin Robbins. So Bill and I are going to get into that a little bit further. We're going to, there's a prop bet in Vegas today that I saw. And I really like this prop bet about tonight's draft. You can put down money on which conference, the SEC or the Pac-12, we'll have more first-round picks. I really like this. Eric, if we were just sitting here on face value, I don't rehearse this with Eric. I just throw stuff out there, but he's a college football fan, as am I. I can't sit here and recite all 32 players. just on face value, if you figure that Ross at Washington and McCaffrey at Stanford and Lyman at Stanford, there's three right off the top that are going to be first-round picks. But then you turn around. On the Alabama side, you've got the defensive lineman. You've got Fournette. You've got the linebacker. If you go down the list, which way are you going on which conference will have more first-round picks? Because you can actually bet on this today.
I just have to say SEC, just if you just put a gun in my head.
Face value, yeah.
Because the thing with the LSU defense and the Alabama defense, they could have a bunch of guys just from those two specialty groups, not including Ole Miss and all the other high-end players that come out of that conference. I would just say SEC.
You mentioned Ole Miss. It's been a year since Laramie Tunsil. You would have to say that a year ago today was the end of Ole Miss football. The demise started.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the best thing that ever happened to Laramie Tunsil was what happened on draft day. Yeah, he lost money, but he's playing for the Dolphins, and he had a great rookie year, and it ended well for all parties, but yes, that was a complete poop show a year ago tonight when that story broke.
But isn't Ole Miss under investigation now?
Yes.
And Kelly was supposed to be a high-end quarterback. He gets hurt, and there are character questions around him.
Yep.
So Chad Kelly is not a factor tonight in the draft when it comes to quarterbacks.
Hugh Freeze has always sort of walked that fine line of what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
And
it's SEC football.
Yeah, exactly. And he even admitted it as much in a couple interviews. Like, we're just going to do things our way, and they get talent. There's no doubt they get talent. Laquon Treadwell, I mean, there's lots of good players that come out of Ole Miss.
Kamdiche was there last year. If you are Carolina and you are slotted to be the first team to take a running back tonight, do you take Fournette or McCaffrey? I would take McCaffrey. That's just me.
Bigger backs tend to wear down faster.
Fournette 2 years ago was on fire. And I want to talk to you about this because I know we got Seth. So let's hold on this. We'll get it back after Seth. Seth Joyner's next on the road. We'll catch up with Seth on draft day. We're going to talk some linebackers, character issues. What, you know, Seth Joyner hears Darryl Washington is reinstated. What to expect out of a guy that's been away from the NFL at linebacker from one of the best when he played, Seth Joyner. That's next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We appreciate them carrying our show and our partnership with them for 3 years now. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, 54 airings per month. Appreciate the partnership with Fox Sports Arizona. Actually, I think they're giving us some extra airings this week because of the draft, which is nice of them. Before and after Diamondbacks, Suns, and Coyotes, it's great to have that partnership now, finishing up our second year. Pro college, high school, college, pro doesn't make any difference to me as long as it's football. That's what we do on that show. Seth Joyner joins us now. Always good to catch up with Seth. I consider him a friend. He is a former Super Bowl champion and Cardinal linebacker. It's 1986. You've just finished up at El Paso. It is draft day. Where are you on draft day?
I'm in my girlfriend's apartment. And after the fourth round, I go to the gym out of sheer disappointment and anger to play basketball the rest of the draft.
And the draft at that time is 12 rounds. Seth, by the way, is at a gym. He's working out. So if you hear the clanking of weights, that's where he is. But the draft at that time was like 12 rounds, right?
Right.
So, right. 12. So take me through the rest of that day or days before it happened.
Well, you know, I had taken a trip down to Dallas to work out for them probably the week before the draft. A couple of teams, you know, to express some interest. And, you know, coming out of college my senior year, I think I was in the top five or six linebackers, you know, in that draft. But for some reason or other, I didn't get invited to the combine. And, you know, I figured I'd probably go somewhere around as a top five, top six linebacker, somewhere between the mid-third to, you know, the fifth.
Right.
And once we started the fifth, I mean, I was just so livid I couldn't watch it anymore. I was actually in the gym playing basketball when somebody ran in and told me, hey, the Eagles just picked you in the eighth round. I was like, great. I just kept playing.
And did you go celebrate afterwards, or were you just so angry about the whole situation, you put a chip on your shoulder?
It really did put a chip on my shoulder. I think it's probably the best thing that could have happened to me, because it created something in me that fueled my entire career. And I'm not so sure, you know, had I been a late third-round pick or something in that area, that, you know, things would have turned out the way they did. So, you know, all things happen for a reason.
No, that's right. That's right. Seth Joyner with us. Darrell Washington gets reinstated into the National Football League. When you hear this news, what are your thoughts about Darrell Washington?
Well, I mean, I'm always glad to see a guy, you know, get his act together. I'm disappointed it took so long, because look at the prime years of his career that he wasted, you know, doing whatever it is that he was involved in, and then on top of that, wasting his talents and his gifts. So, you know, I'm happy to see him, you know, turn it around, but I'm supremely disappointed that it took him so long, because when, you know, before he left the Cardinals, I thought he was a rising star, you know, not only on that football team, but in the entire NFL.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the Cardinals should expect of him as a player, having sat out a few years now?
Well, you know, I think there is no expectation. I think, you know, you bring him back in, you give him the playbook, you watch how he works, watch how he handles his business, and things of that nature, and see, you know, does he have the hunger to do the things that are necessary for him to warrant their trust again?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you go into this thing with any great expectations. And if he winds up, you know, turning it around and making it back 100%, then you've got yourself, you know, a situation where you've got an unexpected, you know, diamond that you never thought that you'd have back. Because, you know, let's face it, one of their issues has been at inside linebacker for the last couple of years, trying to solidify that position. They've gone so far as to draft a safety and put him in there and play there.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy with Darrell's ability, if he can get back to what he was, you know, that's a position now that they don't have to earmark. And I don't know whether they, you know, what the plan is moving forward. Do they go after a linebacker in the draft, you know, or are they content with where they are, or maybe signing one in free agency and seeing how this thing works out? But I don't think you put any eggs in Darrell Washington's basket at all. He's got to prove that he's worthy of being on this football team again.
Hey, Seth, what goes in a linebacker? Like, when you played at the highest level and you had a terrific career, but what goes when you're away for 3 years from the game? What would be missing? Is it the speed? Is it the anticipation? What does Darrell Washington maybe not have that he once did?
Well, I know that his instincts are going to be dull, because you're groomed and bred over the years to see little things, mm-hmm. and react, you know, in a lightning quick way. The problem is when you don't do it for a while, now all of a sudden you got to retrain your eyes to believe what you see. Because what will happen with him in the beginning is he will see something and he'll be a second late to react, and he won't be in position to make the play. Where in the past, the minute that his eye recognized it, you know, he was gone. The other thing, you know, is the physicality of the game. You know, what has it been? 3, 4, 5 years that he's been out of the game?
3, yeah.
I mean, 3 years is a long time not to hit anybody. 3 years is a long time. A lot has transpired and transformed in the game of football that wasn't there when he was last in the NFL. So there's a lot of adjustments that he has to make in, you know, how you hit, you know, helpless receivers, you know, rushing the quarterback and staying off their knees. I mean, there's a lot of things that have transpired since he was last in the league. So, I mean, he's got some adjustments to make. But from an instinct standpoint, I think just believe in your eyes, because that's one of the hardest things for a linebacker to train, you know, is to not get caught up looking in the backfield, but reading the offensive lineman, believe in your eyes and not doubt it. That's a difficult thing, you know, to really train into the mindset of a linebacker. I think that's one of the reasons why Deion Buchanan is so good, because he sees something and he doesn't hesitate. He doesn't flinch.
Right.
You know, and he's always around the football and he's always making plays because he's got great instincts. And I'm not saying Darryl will lose his instinct to play the game. I just think that his instincts to react will be much slower than they were after, you know, before sitting out for 3 years.
I'm curious, with your son playing high school football in the Southeast Valley, at least last time we spoke, have you run across Darryl just in your workouts and being around? Have you seen him around?
You know, I haven't. I haven't. You know, okay. And I asked a lot of people, you know, is he still in Arizona? Where has he been? What is he doing? You know, how are things progressing? But, you know, I haven't run across it. I mean, I would love to, you know, the old veteran players, you know, we would love to be able to, you know, spend some time with guys like Darryl and talk to him, share with him, impart, you know, wisdom upon him. But it's hard with players today.
Sure.
You know, they've got their own mindset about how to do things. They don't understand the concept. And sometimes the organizations don't understand the concept of mentorship. You know, when I was doing a radio interview yesterday and I was telling the guy, one of the biggest things that you must have around young players and developing young players is older players, guys who've been where they're going, that can talk to them and tell them and impart upon them and teach them mentorship, leadership. You know, when I was coming up, you know, the guys were still in the league at 33 to 35 years old. Now, once you hit 29, they're already looking for your replacement. Once you hit 30, they're trying to push you out the league. And that just doesn't bode well in a locker room of 21, 22-year-olds. You have to have some mentors around for those guys that's been there and done that, and teach them, tell them how to be a pro, what to do, where to go, where not to go. I think that's a grave mistake on the part of the NFL.
Well, that's an NFLPA thing. I mean, it's there's got to be a trust, right? I mean, that's the alumni has to be trusted by the organization, and the circle that these guys surround themselves with, they've got to understand the value of having someone like yourself within the circle. And I think it's now more days than ever, it's the agent, it's the financial rep, it's the marketing rep, and forget about these guys that have been in the game. They just want a piece of you, and that's not always the case.
Well, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I get what you're saying, because there have been a number of guys that have been that way, have reacted that way, and all that way. But there's a lot of guys that genuinely would like to mentor and help and don't want anything in return but to be able to give back which was once given to them. You know, I had a lot of older guys that poured into my football career, into my life. It would only make sense that I would want to do the same thing for someone else. But if you can't get past, you know, the belief or the misconception that I want something other more than to give, then, what can I do about that situation?
A couple other questions, Seth Joyner. I'll let you get back to your workout. If you're the Cardinals, Reuben Foster, any concern on your end about him and the red flags that are supposedly out there?
You know, as a linebacker, I love the kid. Not sure, you know, about all the other stuff that's going on, the outbursts at the combine, you know, the diluted sample. You know, all of those things, you know, have to be a concern, you know, when you're picking high, you know, in the first round. You have to consider those things. Just from a football perspective, I think he might be the most dynamic, the most aggressive, the flashiest defensive player, you know, perhaps that's in the draft. But the question is, can you get past that? I know that, you know, Bruce last year had a lot of issues with Robert, you know, Condici,
yep,
because the guy came in and he's not a worker, you know, and he had some previous red flags. You know, are they going to travel down that road again and have to, you know, worry about, you know, can we get this guy, you know, to do the right things and, you know, and work? I think the work ethic is in him. It comes down to, you know, can you trust him, you know, off the field? There's no question about what he'll be on the field and what Nick Saban has groomed him to be in that locker room. The problem is off the field, because no coach wants to get that call at 2 o'clock in the morning that, you know, their first round pick just got arrested for something.
All right, you're going to go back to slinging weights. Are you still benching what you benched when you were a player, or are you just doing like 20-pound hand weights? I mean, come on, Seth, what are you doing there?
You know, yeah. Believe it or not, I don't do any upper body work at all.
Get out of here.
Body work, all I do is pull-ups and push-ups. I do a lot of cardio and an extreme amount of, you know, lower body leg weight. I'm trying to keep my knees strong, my legs strong, flexible, and my lower back, and, you know, trying to, you know, lose some weight. I'm down about 20, 25 pounds, so I'm pretty happy with myself right now.
Get out of here. Get out. Listen to you. You're sandbagging. I see you in a golf shirt, and it looks like you're going to rip it open on a swing. Come on. Got these biceps going. You're trying out to be like a double for a boxing movie. Jeez.
That's that one XL golf shirt that I had on that day.
See you later. Thanks for the visit. Stay well. Safe travels.
All right, Brad. Take care.
Likewise. Seth Joyner. Seth's one of my favorite people. Just, it's real with him. It's not just real with football. It's real in life with him. I love that. On the other side, so these prop bets that have taken over today's NFL draft, there's a whole list of them. A few other things that have caught my eye. I got to get over to Fernando Rodney and shooting arrows when you're getting lit up. You know, I mean, yeah, this is great when you don't blow a save. But last night, I got to crush him. That's next thing. Goody at the movies. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Brad Sussmat with you. I thank AZ Central, our daily partnership with them. And, of course, we are on Fox Sports Arizona, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. We have 54 airings per month. You can check us out on FSAZ. There is 6 airings tonight for the Diamondbacks. I got to get in the Diamondbacks. You know, Eric, I'm in a fine mood today. It's the NFL draft. This is a day that you and I have seen for 20 years or more of all these players and all that stuff. And yet, I got to talk about Fernando Rodney last night. Now, when the Diamondbacks signed Fernando Rodney, you got to have a closer. So we're not disappointed that they brought Fernando Rodney here. But let's take you back to last night. And the Diamondbacks are just crushing San Diego last night. And they are in a space to win. And here's Fernando Rodney. And he just gives up a moonshot last night. And I don't know. The whole thing of him shooting arrows, I get it. Some of you fans love Fernando Rodney shooting arrows to celebrate, but then you have this look of Fernando Rodney. And more often than not in his career, that has been the look of Fernando Rodney. That's the tough part of this deal. So they ended up, that was the worst loss of the season last night, Eric. I don't think there's any question about it. You could have taken 3 from San Diego. And so now we're sitting here today with Tywin Walker throwing tonight. I'm fine with Tywin Walker throwing.
It all lined up last night for the Diamondbacks.
It did.
They brought up Zach Godley. He pitched 5 innings, pitched very well. They handed the ball over to Archie Bradley, who made 1 bad pitch, gave up a solo homer, then struck out 5 guys over the next 3 innings. So you're going into the top of the 9th inning, and you have a 5-3 lead, and you let some guy that most people in baseball have never heard of hit a 3-run homer.
Now, should Torrey Lovello have pulled Rodney? Because there was one out, and there's the bunt.
No.
See, and I'm with you on that.
No. Even though your closer now has an ERA of 11.00, yeah, you still have to run him out there. Because closers, Brad, they have the weirdest psyche. Like, they can be so mentally strong and, sure, at the same time so mentally fragile. You need to boost these guys' confidence.
So do you end up tonight, let's say it's a 2-1 game, do you end up taking Rodney and do you end up putting him out there in the,
yes,
ninth inning tonight?
Yes.
See, I do too. I think you've got to run him back out there. Now, the other side of the coin on that is, so Archie comes in, and Archie strikes out 4, the final 4 that he went against. So there was that, and I'm happy that he's that good and that dominant, but they send Zach Godley down this morning. So, and Shelby's having an MRI on his elbow, and the more that this goes on, he's seeing his third doctor. I mean, what are we waiting here for? For somebody to say, no, you don't need surgery? I mean, we're at that point now where it's got to be something serious. So do you take Archie Bradley and do you stretch him out and have him just be the guy to step in? Have we seen enough of Archie Bradley, I think, is the question.
He's in such a good position right now. And I know everyone would like to see him start, but we've been waiting for this consistent success from one appearance to the next. Like in the past few years, he's been great in one game, and then he's been horrible in the next.
But
he hasn't
the bullpen,
been able.
Bullpen gets weakened if you put him, take him out of the rotation.
That's what I'm saying. I say you just keep him in that spot unless you absolutely positively have to put him back in the rotation.
See, I was fine with Zach Godley last night.
No, like, he pitched well.
The strategy was...
Five innings, two runs. Perfect.
Five innings, two runs, bring Archie in, have Rodney come in and close. So, I mean, those... It was just a gut-wrencher last night, and I hate that. It reminded me of the Diamondbacks from the last couple of years, and nobody wants to see that, especially when you're in first place. You know, people are saying, well, they only drew 12,000 fans. Guys, the size of the crowd doesn't matter anymore with the TV contract. They just get big bucks off of the games being on television. Selling out games, it's nice. It's a revenue stream. Let's not kid each other. But pro sports has changed now with these TV deals. All right, so Vegas and the draft. I want to switch over to this before we get to Goody at the Movies. Vegas has this whole list of prop bets around the draft tonight. And we're not surprised by this. Every week we have Jimmy Vaccaro on from Vegas. Jimmy's been setting the lines in Vegas for a better part of 40 years. And so he's seen the explosion of the interest in the NFL. When Vegas goes to the point of let's now put prop bets up around the NFL draft, and they closed them off last night. The most fascinating one to me was 3.3 quarterbacks over under in the first round tonight.
How do they come up with this?
Yeah, I know.
Honestly, like who is back there? I mean, do they go by past drafts? They look at a bunch of current mock drafts. How does that work? How do you get that number?
So you figure that Trubisky's going to go.
For sure.
You figure that Mahomes
is definitely going to go in the first round somewhere.
Okay, Deshaun Watson?
I would think he's probably a first rounder.
So then that leaves Kaiser.
That's where the bump is right there.
So is it that these wise guys in Vegas that when you're betting on NFL games and you're betting on the Super Bowl and you're betting on the Final Four, and it was the largest March Madness handle ever, okay, do they end up looking at the draft and going back to their wise guys within organizations or outside of organizations? And I think that doesn't go on. You're just kidding yourselves. Do they go back at it and say, okay, what are we looking here at the draft? And that's how they set the lines.
Could they
closed the book last night. They closed all betting windows on this. And they got run over by people wanting to bet on the draft, of all things.
Well, what do people love betting? They love betting football. So if you can make a little scratch for these huge casinos in the middle of the offseason, why not? I'm all for it. If people want to bet it, let them bet it.
Number of Big Ten players drafted in round one, over under is 5. I mean, come on, guys. Don't you have jobs? I love the draft. I follow the draft. I could probably put some scratch down on this. I bet I could consult. I don't know.
Could this become like
the financial services industry of drafting? We can use that term. How's that?
Could this become like the mini March Madness bracket where
sure
people
could.
in around this time of year are trying to figure out how many guys are going to get drafted from
each
conference?
Think about it. Mock drafts. Fans can't be a part of mock drafts, or they can now in this day and age of social media. But you go to Vegas and you put down a betting slip and $50 saying, I bet, like the in first round number of kickers, okay, rounds 1 through 5, there's going to be a kicker taken. That's on the board up there. You can put down $145 to make some scratch, or it's round 6 and later. So if you're the smart dude who says, I'm going to put money down on kickers. So
with the quarterbacks we've seen, though, if one gets taken, you can get a string and a run of quarterbacks. So I would probably take the over on that.
Yeah. No, I would, too. Goody at the Movies is next. So we're going to talk to Bill. It's always good to catch up with Bill Goody Kuntz, AZ Central and Gannett Chief Film Critic, longtime friend of the program. A little bit on the ESPN 100 layoffs yesterday, and then he's got a couple of movies he wants to get to on NFL Draft Day. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and it's coming into the weekend, and you're going to need to go to the movies and have a life, right? Like, go to Geno's East, because they just opened up. I was there last week for an opening, and then go to a movie. because you can take my recommendation. They're not going to screw it up at Geno's East. It's really good. And Bill's going to give you a recommendation on a movie, and he's not going to screw up. That's a pretty good date, right, Bill? I mean, I worked that out pretty well.
I may not screw up. I'll try not to screw up. But these opening things, did you eat? Did you have a piece?
Geno's East was – so they opened over on like 32nd Street and Indian School, and – they are 34th Street Indian School, but it's really, I mean, it's Geno's East from Chicago. Have you had Geno's East in Chicago before?
The one trip I ever took to Chicago, I actually did eat there.
And what did you think?
I took an L to Wrigley Field, watched a doubleheader, took it back, and ate at Geno's. It was fine. I mean, I don't remember that much about it. But
fine.
All right. Well, I'm not the pizza aficionado.
Oh, you're not. You're the movie aficionado, of course. I got that. All right. So let's get the ESPN story out of the way. Because you and I are in the midst of media. We love to talk about this stuff. Whenever something comes down, 100 people get blown out yesterday. From my view, it's all about the irresponsible rights fees with the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball that they signed there. I've had the Trumpsters come out of the blue, and there's nothing wrong on the political end. But, man, these people are just – and I'm not one way or the other on this. It's like, no, this has nothing to do with politics as to why ESPN gassed 100 people.
No, this has been coming down the pike for a long time. They laid off 300 a couple of years ago.
Right.
It's just their business model is no longer sustainable. You talk about the literal billions of dollars that they've doled out for these rights to various events. It's not just that. It's also overcharging cable customers, you know, basically holding them hostage for years. You know, you couldn't, you know, you got to get ESPN if you want a certain package. And, you know, and I think as cable cutting became more of a viable option for people who like TV, it didn't work anymore. And it doesn't work anymore. And they haven't figured out how to fix that. And I think that it's a business that has for years. And you probably know this. You've had more dealings with them. That's a business part that's been run on arrogance for a long time.
Yes.
And we do this because we've always done it and because we can do it. Mm-hmm. We do these things because we can and you can't. And that business model, while if you were like building railroads in the, you know, late 19th century, that probably worked. You know, but if you're trying to remain viable in a culture where people can watch anything anytime, just about one way or another, it doesn't work. Now I don't know what does work. I don't know how to fix it, but I do know that they're obviously paying the price.
Well, when you look at the NFL, Bill, $21 billion, okay, and ESPN typically gets the worst games on Monday nights of prime time. NBC gets the best games on Sunday night. The Thursday night games are split between CBS and NBC and the NFL Network.
And they're horrible.
And they're horrible because it's 4 days in between games. The players complain about it. Then you go over to the NBA package where LeBron says, I'm tired. I need to sit out tonight. Or Greg Popovich or Steve Kerr say, we're not going to play our starters tonight. That deal's wrong. And then the college football playoff, they have the two semifinals on New Year's Eve. Last time I checked, everybody's out partying. Not many people other than the team's fans are paying attention. So just those three deals alone, you look at this and say, it's not going to get turned around anytime soon. And the outrage nationally of consumers, of fans yesterday and even today, to me, is surprising, I think. It's a sports network that's no longer the destination that it once was.
Well, and I think that has been true for a while, and I think that people people don't want to change. I'm a little surprised at the outrage too. I mean, I think Ed Werder's a really good reporter, but yep. I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, I can't imagine I'll stop watching TV and protest for him not being on the air anymore. I was sorry to see that your one time interview subject and a guy that I've always loved, Lenny Elmore. Get let go.
Yeah, Lenny Elmore. One of my interns got let go yesterday, Brendan Fitzgerald. He was with me at Channel 3, and he was a big face on ESPNU, and they blew him out yesterday. And he's 30 maybe with a kid. I mean, his head's got to be spinning. Britt McHenry, who's in town tonight doing the Cardinals, she got blown out, and it's her final assignment tonight doing the Cardinals. So,
That's a tough assignment. Now that'd be a hard one to do.
Yeah, right.
When you didn't, I don't know how to. TV, like every other form of media, is in such a state of flux, and I think that this is just. But what this really is just like yesterday's reminder. It's not like something happened on Tuesday to make this happen on Wednesday.
Right.
Not
true.
I mean, this has been rumored. Not just rumored. I mean, that ESPN basically didn't even deny it. I mean, that you know that there's going to be cuts. We can't. And then you get like these, as you always do in these things. Well, you know, we want to focus more on our customer and da da da.
Yeah.
You don't.
No, you don't. You lost 15 million subscribers to cable. That's what happened. 15 million people said, or homes said, we're not doing this anymore. That's what happened. So
you're beholden to your shareholders, not your customers. I mean. And that's, I think that's, you know, been the big problem with so much media. They, you know, I don't, you can't have a thing where people don't buy your product anymore and keep paying for, you know, and keep paying those rates.
All right. So let's get into the movies now. So because I love having you on and because you're so well-rounded, we're talking with Bill Goodykunst, Goody at the Movies. I'm going to talk about a Romanian film that you told Eric you wanted. You screened a Romanian film in subtitles. Called Graduation. Yes?
This is true because I do not speak Romanian, so the subtitles are crucial.
Subtitles are crucial, yeah. I got that. Tell me about, is this any good? I mean, this is a real, this is going to be only at
Camelview, yeah.
It's only at Camelview. Yeah, so what about this one?
And it's quite good. And it's the guy, it's the same director who did a movie a couple years ago called Beyond the Hills. That was really good and also written Romanian. And it's about, that one was about an exorcism that kind of goes wrong. And that was a pretty cool movie. But it's basically what this is. It's and I related to this, as I'm sure you have as well. It's a doctor who, he and his wife fled Romania under communism. They came back after 1991 thinking things would get better and they wanted to live in their homeland. Of course, things got not better at all. But they're kind of stuck there and, you know, he's a doctor. She's all depressed and doesn't come out very much. But they've got a daughter who's gotten a scholarship to Cambridge to go to England to study. And so they're excited about that. She's sort of the thing. But she is attacked on the way to take one of these tests. And she's got but he's adamant that she's going to take the test anyway. And so he tries to grease the wheels by doing a favor for somebody that can do a favor for somebody that can do a favor for somebody that can maybe get a. And it's everything that he hates about Romania and about government and everything, but he's sort of stuck in the middle of it. And it's sort of funny almost. It reminded me of an episode in some ways of MASH where like they had to give Frank Burns a birthday party, but to do that, everybody had to do a favor for everybody else. And, you know, it's sort of that, you know, one hand washes the back of the next guy. It's probably better than I'm making it sound.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm looking at this saying this is right up your alley. I get that. I talked to Liev Schreiber this last week. I went out to L.A. and did something around Chuck. Have you seen Chuck yet?
I'm actually talking to him tomorrow. I've got a screener. I'm going to see it today.
Club basketball guy. That was his wheelhouse. He looked at me and he said,
really?
Hey, I flew in Saturday. I said, I'm here. I got a club game. And he's like, yeah, my son's club team's not good. We're 0-9 and the coach is really struggling. So he was really into that. It got him warmed up.
He's tall.
He is tall. Jonathan Demme passed away. Silence of the Lambs director. So. That was yesterday.
I've talked to him before.
Yeah.
He's a great. The thing that I ended up writing about him was Who Gets to Be Perfect Twice. He wrote, he directed what is widely considered the greatest concert film of all time, Stop Making Sense, the Talking Heads film. And he did a lot of concert films, a lot of Neil Young stuff. And then he did, in Silence of the Lambs, I go back and watch every couple of years, you know, usually around Halloween or something, or I'll torture my kids with it. And that it is a perfect movie. Everything about that movie is perfect. The acting, the music, the staging, the framing of the shots, that movie will never age. I mean, that's going to be like Casablanca or something, except that it's a horror movie.
Yeah. Before I get you out of here, who do you want the Cardinals to take tonight at 12 or 13?
A quarterback.
So you want Patrick Mahomes? I'm putting
sure.
words in your mouth, but you're fine. You've had enough of Carson Palmer.
What about Deshaun?
Deshaun Kaiser, Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. Okay. If he's still there. Remember, you have the Jets in front of you. The Jets always take quarterbacks, Bill.
I was so bored the other night. I was listening to late night talk sports radio, and somebody said the Jets are trying to fool everybody. They don't want a quarterback.
Yeah, well, Jets have been trying to fool people for years. I'll let you go off that. Good stuff. Thanks.
Okay.
See you later. This is Bill Goodykunz. Hey, Eric, are you going to go see a Romanian film in subtitles this week? That's why I love Bill.
No. I'm not going to go see a Romanian film in subtitles.
That's awesome.
I'm not going to do that.
It didn't look bad. Didn't look great. Didn't look bad.
When I go to a movie, I just want to relax. I don't have to read.
Yeah. I've been to a few of those screenings with subtitles in black and white. It's hard.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's hard. But you walk out of there and you feel like you're highfalutin. You feel like you're just...
You feel like you read a book?
I feel like I read a book. You know, I read a novel. All right, so our day's just getting going. We are heading over to the Cardinals. We will be there for draft coverage tonight. And on our social media platforms over on @sports360az.com on Twitter, @BradSussMatt on Twitter, @EricSorensen on Twitter, @JordanHamm on Twitter. We'll be on Snapchat, Instagram as well. And then back at it tomorrow, put together a TV show for next week as well. Our chairman of the board is Jared Nielsen. Edwin Rodriguez got the job done today as well. Eric Sorensen produces day in and day out. Thanks to you for being with us. Thanks to those of you that support us. Your sponsorship does help that we do this for 5+ years now. I'm Brad Sussmatt. Enjoy your day.